Greet each one in Jesus' name this morning. Count it a privilege to again be gathered here with you, brothers and sisters. For a message this morning, let's open our Bibles to Ephesians chapter 6. And while you are turning there, I'd like to read a verse in Colossians 3, verse 23. It says, "And whatsoever you do, do it heartily as to the Lord and not unto men." And whatsoever you do, do it heartily as to the Lord and not unto men. I titled the message this morning, Building Godly Homes. This is part one. It's two messages in this. We're going to be looking at part one, building godly homes. And I don't know what you think of when you think of building godly homes. Do you think of having a home that looks good? A home that looks as it is functioning properly? Or do you think of a home that by the grace of God is striving to function properly? Striving to look right, but not always accomplishing that. You know, that is real life. Our homes are not always perfect. Our children are not always perfect. We as parents are not always perfect. We don't get everything as we should all the time. But we have Jesus Christ. And He is able, as we heard this morning. He is enough. His grace is enough. His power is enough. So that we can build godly homes. Ephesians chapter 6, verses 1 through 4 says, "Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor thy father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with thee, and that thou mayest live long on the earth. And ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord." Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor thy father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise. You know, all the commandments were given, but this is the first commandment that was given with a promise. That if we, children, every one of us in here this morning, our children, we're somebody's child. This isn't just for the young folks that are here this morning, this is for all of us. Children, obey your parents. Honor thy father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise. What is that promise? Well, it goes on and says that it may be well with thee and that thou mayest live long on the earth. You know, and if we just take that verse for what it says right there, it means, or we can take it to mean that if we honor our parents and we respect our parents and we obey our parents, that we're going to live to be 80 years old. You know, that's not what that verse is telling us. It's telling us it doesn't matter how old you live. It don't matter how short of a life you are and how long of a life you have. What you have is a promise that God will be with you. God will be with you. And what greater promise do we want than that? Than the promise that God is going to be with us. He's going to love us. He's going to care for us. He is going to be enough. He's going to give us the grace that we need. Because I don't know how you parents feel when you think, especially younger parents, you got young children. You know, I don't know what goes through your mind when you think of the future. I don't know what goes through your mind when you think of the present. But I do know one thing. You have a very high calling. God has called you to a place in your life that you are not able to fill without His grace. You cannot nurture and bring up these children that God has blessed you with without Jesus Christ. Verse 4, "And you fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord." Provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. You know, what is that? I think we all can understand what provoke not your children to wrath. But do we always do that? Do we always live up to that? You know, sadly, I haven't always lived up to that. And a lot of what you're going to hear this morning is because of that. It's the failures and the shortcomings that I see in my own life. The areas that I see that I should have done differently. The areas that I see that I should have responded different. You know, I think this is a very real point. Provoke not your children to wrath. You know, we as fathers, the leaders of the home, that is a great responsibility that we have. God has given us a great responsibility, and now He is asking us to provoke not our children to wrath. There's many ways we can provoke our children to wrath. But one thing I think for myself, one thing that I've seen that provokes our children quicker than anything is when they don't know exactly where Dad is at. When they don't know exactly where Dad stands on this. Fathers, we have a great responsibility. Do we know where we stand out with the Lord? That is the most important, parents, the most important thing in raising children is to know who the Lord is. To know where you stand in the eyes of God. And be willing to stand on it. You know, the world would like to tell us that what provokes children is discipline. What provokes children is telling them that they can't have this or that. What provokes children is restrictions in their lives. You know, it is right the opposite. If you want happy, contented children, have rules and regulations that you stand on. Hold them accountable. That's what they're really wanting. That's what they're wanting from us as fathers. So let's think about that. And we're going to look primarily at the younger children to start with. Us as parents, as we relate to our young children. I can't stress it enough, parents. Get a connection with your children. Don't wait till they're 5 or 6 years old to try to make that connection. It is done ready too late. If you think that you can kind of you can have your child kind of on the sideline until he's 5 or 6 years old, then you're gonna bring him in and really, you know, just really pour it into him. Well, guess what? You missed the best years of his life. You missed the most impressionable years of that child's life. And that is from 3 to 5. If you want to shape your child's future, do it when he's 3 to 5. So you know what that is telling us? That we can look at a 5-year-old and pretty much tell where he'll end up at. That is serious right there. That's how important it is for us as parents. That we teach our children. You know, think about it. That child is just coming with an open mind. It's empty. It's clean. It's free. We have an opportunity. And I think all children are different. Some of them, you can tell that they start remembering things. They start making connections. And they're very young. You know, they're maybe barely 2 years old. And you're like, wow. They remember that. They do something and you're like, wow, that was exactly what I done yesterday. They remembered what they seen. they also remember what they hear. So it is so important that we as parents take that opportunity with our young children. Be that example for them. Like it says in Deuteronomy chapter 6. Deuteronomy chapter 6, the first seven verses. Says, now these are the commandments, the statutes, and the judgments which the Lord your God commanded to you to teach you, that you might do them in the land whither you go to possess it, that thou mightest fear the Lord thy God to keep all his statutes and his commandments which I command thee, that thou and thy son and thy son's son all the days of thy life, that thy days may be prolonged. Hear therefore, O Israel, and observe to do it, that it may be well with thee, and that thou mayest increase mightily, as the Lord God of thy fathers hath promised thee in the land that floweth with milk and honey. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord, and thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. And these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart, and thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, and shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, and when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up. That is so important for us as parents. You know, I think sometimes we don't take advantage of that as we should. I know I didn't. I did not take advantage of that like I should have. You know, we have a Christian school to send our children to, which is a great blessing, but that does not replace you as parents. It doesn't replace me as my children's parent. It is just a help. It's not a replacement. But I think sometimes in the Anabaptist culture, we get the idea that that's where our children are going to learn the truths that are in the Word of God. And that I don't have to teach them that. Do you want your child to be a success in life? Do you want your child to choose to follow God? If you do, be that representation of God in his life. Be that father that God the Father is to you for your child. Thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, and shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, and when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up. You know, that covers our entire life. Completely. When we are in the house, I like to think of it as when we are in the house, when we're sitting around the dinner table. It's a time to connect with our families. It's a time to make that connection. It can be a time to talk about the Lord. When we're going on trips or whatever. It's a great time. What do we listen to? When we're taking trips, what do we listen to? Are we taking that opportunity to put more truth into our children? When thou liest down and when thou risest up. Do we end the day and begin the day with God? You know, that's probably one of the areas that I have struggled the most in being a father that I should be. is ending the day and beginning the day with God like I should. Fathers, all of you here that have children of any age at all done ready, know what I'm about to tell you, but you don't have to tell your children that you're not putting God in His rightful place. They know that. They already know that. Because they're watching us. They're finding someone to follow. They're looking for someone to follow. You as their parent is going to be their role model. Especially in those young years. 3 to 5 especially. But even 3 to adolescent. You as fathers are your children's heroes. You as mothers are your children's comfort. You're the one that they always run to when they're in trouble. You're the one that when they get hurt, they run to. It's always when they cry out, it's not daddy. They cry out, mama. You know, when we put that together in the order that God has placed it in, it's a stability that our children can find nowhere else. Think about this. We have the story of Samuel. I don't think we're going to turn to there. But in 1 Samuel 1, we have this story where Hannah came up and she prayed for this child. God heard her prayer and he gave her a son, Samuel. She had made a promise to God that I will lend this child back to you if you will give me but a son. Did she stop and think about the promise she made? I don't know, but I want to believe she did. Because she lived up to that promise. The son was given her that she prayed for. And now she is lending him back to God. She's taking him to the temple and she's going to leave him there. And it doesn't give us the exact age that he was, but somewhere between 3 and 5. I want to think he was 3 years old because she took 3 oxen with her, or bullocks with her, to sacrifice when she took him up. And they usually would take 1 a year. But that doesn't say he was 3. But she did take 3 bullock with her to sacrifice. So let's just say that he was 3 years old. How many of you mothers here this morning would change what you're doing if you know that your little baby that you're holding is only going to be with you for another 3 years? Would you change the way that you teach that child? Would you change the time that you put into his life? Fathers, would you change the way that you relate to that child? I hope not, but I would say if every one of us here was honest this morning, we would say yes, we would. Well, I want to tell you, if you answered yes to that, then change. Pour that into each one of your children. Because those are the years that you will impact their life. Their entire life. Those are the years. Now we think, oh, well, Samuel is getting taken to the temple. He's going to be there with the holiest of the holiest. No, he was there with the scum of the earth. Eli's sons, the most horrible, wicked, evil, adulterous young men that lived, were there in the temple. They were there taking sacrifices away from people and going out having a big barbecue. And they were not supposed to do that. Now here we have this little 3-year-old boy now that this mother and all of her holiness promised to lend back to God, and he's got to go into this. His mother knew what she was putting her son into, but she knew that this was going to be the fix to that problem because she was going to teach him. Brothers and sisters, if we want to fix the problem, let's start when they're babies. Because when they are 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, they're done ready starting to think for themselves. They're done ready telling Dad some bright ideas. And from 10 to 15, they know way more than you do. And sometimes they're probably right. But think about it. You're Hannah, and you're about to take your child to the temple. What would you want to teach that child? What would you want to make sure? What is the one thing that you would want to make sure that child knows before he goes to the temple? Are you fine to send him to the temple and allow Eli to teach him? Parents, let's prepare our children for the life that is before them. Let's give them all that we can. And I want to think the most important thing that Hannah poured into Samuel was who God is. Who God is. You know, when he was a young child, God spoke to him. And by his response, she had taught him something else that is very important to the Christian life. She had taught him respect and obedience. In the middle of the night, the Lord speaks to Samuel. And that clear, audible voice. But it sounds just like Eli to Samuel. He jumps out of bed and he runs to Eli. And says, "Here am I." In our words, "I'm here. What do you want? What do you want to tell me?" "Well, I didn't call you." And he goes back to bed, and again, it happens again. It does that 3 times. Samuel responds the same all 3 times. Then Eli, he gets awake enough that he thinks about it. Somebody's speaking to Samuel, and it's the Lord. He tells Samuel what to say. And we know what God told Samuel. But the point is, if we want our children to hear when the Lord calls, we've got to teach them and to train them to be obedient and to be respectful. If we do not train our children to listen when we speak, we as fathers just told them that you don't have to hear, you don't have to answer when God speaks. Let's turn to Genesis chapter 18. This is about Abraham. And this is what God said about Abraham. Genesis 18, verse 19. It says, "For I know him, that he will command his children and his household after him, and they shall keep the way of the Lord to do justice and judgment, that the Lord may bring upon Abraham that which he hath spoken of him. For I know him." Yes, God knows each one of us. But how do you, how, what, How do you think? What do you think about this here? For I know him that he will bring his children up after him. How did God know that Abraham would bring his children up after him? He didn't have any yet. You know, we say, well, it's because it was God. He knows that. Well, yes, God does know that, but he also had proof that Abraham would bring his children up to follow him. And you say, why is that? Well, if we would just turn back there to Genesis 14, we're not going to turn to it, but Genesis 14, verse 14. It tells us clearly how God knew that Abraham would bring his children up to follow him. And that's because he had 318 trained servants that were born in his house, that were prepared and ready for the battle at the snap of a finger. That's when Lot and all the ones from Sodom and Gomorrah were carried away as captives. And Abraham hears about it, and he goes straight to his house. And he calls his servants' children, the ones that he trained, the ones that he taught how to fight, the ones that he taught how to live, and he called them. And he said, let's go get Lot and all those women. That's how God knew that he would bring up his own son to follow him. Because he brought up all of his servants, 318. I don't know how you parents feel, but I almost feel like sitting down right now. 318 that he taught and he trained, not only how to live life, not only how to follow God, but how to fight a battle. Parents, God didn't say that just because he was God. God said that because he's seen 318 examples. And more than that, probably. But at that time, he had 318 men standing ready who had been trained and who were born in his house. You know, that is a testimony right there of a parent that is truly serving God. He don't just care about his children. He cares about all the children around him. Yes, those children technically were his. Those servants belonged to him, so all their children were his property. And that was common in those days to train those children like you wanted them to be. Abraham trained them and taught them. And that's how God knew. That's how God was able to say, for I know him, that he will command his children and his household after him. You know, the point that I'm wanting to bring out with this verse here is we need each other. We as parents need each other. We don't have all the answers. We need each other to help us. We need to be committed. We need to have a plan. And probably none of you here this morning know me well enough to know I'm not a really planned out person. I'm sure probably every one of you here this morning is a lot better planned out than I am. So what I'm meaning by having a plan, maybe it'd be better we have a goal. When the Lord blesses you with children, you look at these little boys and girls sitting here beside you. And if they are your oldest children that you have, you're probably thinking, wow, it's going to be years and years before they're big enough that we can go out and do things together. Whatever, I don't know what your hobbies are, fishing, hunting, whatever, walking in the park, whatever you like doing. It's going to be years before I can really enjoy that with my children. Well, let me tell you, you better get to enjoying it now, because when they're big enough to enjoy it, it's gone. That's about how quick it is. You better enjoy it now. Get them out there. Take them fishing with you. Take them hunting with you. Whatever you do, I don't know what you do for fun. I know what I do. I love to fish. Take them fishing with you. You know, as I think back over the times that I went fishing with my children and had probably about the best times out there, it's when I would take the little bitty ones along, you know, and they would sleep most of the time. We'd have to position the boat to try to keep the sun off of them. Usually one of the older boys were with. Ricky actually was one then. Chad was still in school. Would go along. We would watch the little one. Sun would go down. They'd wake back up. You know, those are some of the precious moments that we had out there. We know then Rick was pretty small, and now he's big. He's taller than I am. You know, I can't stress it enough, parents. When you got young children, be involved in their life. Be involved in their life. Be a part of their life. Be careful how much you're away and out of your children's lives. I'll share this for whatever it's worth. It's a years of my life that I think I probably made the biggest mistake I ever made. And that's when I worked long distance. I worked for 5 years. I would leave every morning. I think around 6 o'clock. One morning a week I would leave at 4:30 or 5. And hardly ever was I home before 6:30 or 7 o'clock at night. And if anything went wrong, I was later than that. My children were at the age that I should have been at home. There were days that I would go that, especially the younger ones, I would not see them awake. They would be asleep when I left for work, and they were back asleep when I returned home. You know, those little ones barely knew who their dad was. There was times, not times, pretty much all the time, they were scared of me. They didn't know who I was. At those years that I could have impacted them the most, they weren't really sure who this guy was. Yeah, they knew I was their dad, I think. But they wouldn't let me hold him hardly. You know, the point I want to bring out, especially to you as fathers, it takes years to repair that damage. And I don't know if it ever is 100% repaired. Yes, those same little ones I feel very close with today. They're not as little anymore. But I feel very close with today. But it took years to get there. Be careful
how much you are away from your children and your family. Maybe it's work that takes you away.
Maybe you have been ordained to the ministry and it takes you away. You know, and the bad thing is I was at both places. I was ordained in the ministry and my work.
So it's kind of getting pulled away in both places, and I was too dumb to see it. The one I could easily change, the other I couldn't. I could have easily changed where I worked, the hours I put in.
And I want to encourage you fathers, especially younger fathers, who are ordained to the ministry. Your family comes first. Your family comes first. And what I mean by that is there may be something going on in the congregation that you have to go to meetings. You have to go meet with someone. You have to go try to solve this issue. Maybe this sounds mean, but I want to tell you, young fathers, if that is you, the adult can wait. They know better than what they're doing to start with. Do not neglect your children to help an adult. Now, I want to be clear in that. If it is someone who is lost coming to the Lord, do what you can for that person. But 90% of the time that we get pulled away from our family is over something that we deal with our 2-year-old. And we're working with it with 30 and 40-year-olds. Neglect the adults. I failed in that. I didn't do that. I felt I was called to that position in the church, and I should live up to that and fulfill that calling. And I neglected my family a lot. Every night at a meeting, some nights, midnight, 1, 2 o'clock in the morning. And I'd been at work all day long, and I would go straight from work to a meeting.
Don't do that. Don't do that. If you've got to meet with them, take off work and go meet with them in the day. Your children are way too precious. To give away for that cheap of a price. You say, well, you're talking about the church. Yes, I am talking about the church. And that's the reason why I'm stressing this so hard. Because your ministry will have zero effect if you lose your children.
Your ministry will be totally worthless if it costs you your children. So young fathers, be there for your children. Love your children. Take your children with you when you can. I know when we go to work, we can't always take our children along. It's not safe. But when we can, take your children with you. Go do something with your children. Again to you fathers, when we set up plans with our children that we're going to do this or we're going to do that, as much as is possible, let's make sure that happens. Probably easier for those who are not in the ministry than those who are in the ministry. But again, that's an area I failed in. When you make plans with your children, and again, something comes up that you need to meet with, postpone that meeting. Carry on with your plan with your children. And I want to be balanced in that. If you and your children, your family have been going out every week, every night this week, and then something pressing comes up, that's different. You've been spending a lot of time with your family, and there is something pressing comes up in church or in anything else, explain that to your children, and they will understand it. But when it happens time after time, because Brother Earl or whoever has caused some trouble and we need to go deal with it. I'll just say this. If you want to plant a very, very bitter taste of the church and your children's mouths and their hearts, postpone their plans every time. Because they probably will know or will find out who you're meeting with. And in their little tender minds, that person just wrecked their plans. Just ruined their life. Let's be there for them. And in saying this, you may say, well, you know, you're spoiling your children. That's not what I'm talking about. There is times when plans do have to be changed. There are times when we do have to postpone plans. Other more important things come up. Our children will understand that. What I'm talking about is when it's time after time. And sometimes it's just plain my fault. Sometimes it's not no one else. Nothing else has come up. It's something that I want to do. Fathers, what I want to do can wait. I think especially as our children get a little older, they start going to school, we have to guard this, or at least I did. I had to guard this a lot closer. The child is gone a lot through the day. You know, the bulk of their time they're spending at school. They come home in the evenings, the afternoon. You know, we get home from work. We need to make sure that we still connect with those children. We need to make sure that we as fathers stay connected to those children who are going to school. Try to be there before they leave for school. Maybe it changes the time that you have to go to work, but that's okay. I try to not go to work before the children go to school. Not always can it happen. Sometimes I do have to leave before, but as much as possible, I go to work when they go to school. And I know it's a little easier because I am my own boss. It's easier to do that. Maybe you work for somebody else and it's not workable. If it's not, still be there for your children when you can. Because that is a new step, a new phase in your child's life. They're going from being with daddy and mama all the time to now they're going to school. They're with someone else, their friends, their teachers, most of the time. That is an adjustment for your children. You know, we think of it so much, we as parents, At least me and my wife, I think my wife even minded it worse. She was at home with them. She minded it worse, you know, as they go to school, you know, then they're not there with her. Well, you know, they're at school going through that same process. Mom's not there. Dad's not there. Connect with your children. Be there for them. Open those lines of communication up when your children are young enough that they will open up and share their heart. That was something that now that our children are getting older, I see that I failed in that, of making that connection when they were young. I'm not saying this to put any bad reflection on my parents at all. I think they done everything they knew to do. They used the tools that they had to use. But that was one thing that I never had in my life growing up, was a real connection with my parents. Of actually being able to open up and share what I was struggling with, share what, you know, what I was facing in life. I never had that. And again, I'm not saying that bad about my parents. I think they did a great job with what they had to work with. And I think they done all that they knew. But that is one thing that could have changed my life a lot if I could have had that connection with my dad. That I could have shared with him the struggles that I was facing. There would be a lot of things now that I could look back in my young years and not wish that I could erase. So fathers, that doesn't happen when your children are 10 to 15 years old. That connection happens 3 to 5. That's when you need to get that connection with your children. That's when you need to get that openness with your children to talk with them, to get them to open up and tell you about their little problems. You know, when little Johnny comes to you and he's telling you how his little kindergarten friend was not nice to him today. Listen to what he's saying. Let him know that he has a connection with you. Try to help him or her know how to work through that problem. Because there is a day and age when you're going to be on your knees begging the Lord to put in the heart of your son or daughter to come and talk with you. There's going to be a time, if you don't do that when they're young, there's going to be a time when you are laying in bed and you cannot sleep. Because you are worried about your child. Because they won't open up and talk with you. You know what? It's my fault. It is my fault as a parent if my child doesn't open up and talk. The struggles that our children, your children, all of us, the struggles that they face, so many of them could be avoided if we would make that connection with our children. You know, it is shocking. And we're going to go into this where I'm only going to touch this right now, but it is shocking among the Anabaptist churches at how much moral failure is among our young people. I mean, it's unbelievable. And I ask, why is that? It's one question. We as parents have not connected with our children. When is the last time that you talked with your children, your sons especially? A about their moral life. But yes, we don't talk to our 5 and 6 year olds in real depth over that. But as they get up there, 10, 12 years old, we need to be talking with them. You know, that is something throughout my life. I don't ever remember having that conversation with my parents, ever, until I was almost grown. And they found out that I was a total failure. And then I was in trouble, which I should have been. I'm not saying they were wrong in it. I should have been in trouble. You know, as I look back, and I don't hold nothing against, like I said, I hold nothing against my parents, anybody. It was me that chose to do it. It was me that chose to live that life. I didn't have to. But I do recognize the fact if I had had that connection with my parents, I wouldn't have that shame hanging in my past life. Have that communication with your children, that connection, that openness. That whatever they're facing, they know they have somebody they can come to. And I want to encourage you as parents. It's not your children's responsibility to come to you. You want that openness there that will cause them to want to come to you. But it's not their responsibility to come to you. It is your responsibility to go to them. So that means you've got to be diligent. Go to your children. See how they're doing. When your son or daughter is 10, 12 years old, they're right there in a big shake-up in their life. Things are changing that they know nothing about. They are going from innocent children to accountable adolescence, which means their mind is no longer innocent. They're starting to develop. They're growing. They're starting to develop now. There's things that they're going to do that's going to cause that newly awakened conscience within them to speak. Your child is probably not going to know what to do with that alone. They're going to have an idea what to do. And there's some children that just, praise God, they know exactly what to do with it, and they just do it. And there's others that don't. Don't expect your child to come to you with that problem, because the devil is also there. And he is telling that child that, hey, you are different than all the other children around you. You're different than all your friends. You are dumb if you go and talk to anybody about this, because nobody else is facing this struggle in their life. Parents, let's be wise. Let's be on top of this. If you've got children that are at that age, let them know that you were there for them. Let them know that you are here. Ask them how it's going. Ask them if they're struggling with it. You know, are there things that you don't understand? Ask your children if there's questions that they have. Give them an opportunity to open up. Be vulnerable to your children. They have questions. Trust me, I can remember when I was a child, I had a lot of questions. I got no answers, so guess what I done? I started searching for the answers, and believe it or not, I found them. And you probably won't be shocked to know that those answers is largely what drug me into the sin that I wound up in. Because I didn't have what it took to stand with that knowledge. And that knowledge was not given to me in the proper way. Stay close with your adolescents. Stay very close with them. As I've said already, that's another big step in their life. They're going from childhood to adult. And those years through there, there is so much happening in their lives, in their bodies. There's just so much happening. That it can be overwhelming. You know, I have tried to communicate with my children. But one thing I wish I had have done was started that when they were younger. That communication, that openness, that openness about anything. But as they grow older, Build on that. Keep building on that. Because there is nothing that is better for our children than to have someone they can be accountable to. And you know, brothers and sisters, the sad part is, I don't know how you as a congregation here find it, but I hear this all the time. Almost every congregation that I go to, there are young people there that are struggling with moral failures, that have accountability partners, that are walking along with them. And as I was studying for this message, and we're going to go further into that this afternoon, into our youth and the older young people. We'll get a little deeper into this then. But there was one thing I thought about as I was studying this, is how long have I been someone's accountability partner? I'm not sure. But I think it's been 10 or 12 years now. One to the other. To the other. That should not be named among us. That's just that point. It's just that simple, brothers and sisters. That should never be named among us. But yet it is. And the reason it is because of what we're talking about right now. We as fathers, especially we as fathers, we don't make that connection with our sons. Until they're 15 or 16, then we try to. It's way too late then. Not saying you can't make the connection there, but it's way too late. You should have done that years ago. You You know, there's one thing that I wish I could see in the Anabaptist churches, and that is that no one would need an accountability partner for a moral struggle. And that is achievable, brothers and sisters. Don't think that that's impossible. That is very possible. It could happen in one generation. We could totally change that. We could totally take care of that problem in one generation. If that generation would get up and get on their feet and stand up to the sin and evil that is in this world and truly connect with their children and truly show their children how to get free of that, they would have the tools to show their children how to do the same. I think the problem is, brothers and sisters, is the fact that we don't have the tools that we need. Because it's been a subject that we've never talked about. It's been a subject that you were not able to talk about. And if it can stay there, that's good. Don't ever talk about it. But the trouble is, the world that we're living in today, it's under our noses all the time. So we have to talk about it. Let's have those lines of communication strong, where we can come and talk to our children. Start that when they're young. Let's have the heart that Joshua had when he was calling the children of Israel together. And they weren't sure who they were going to serve. Joshua set forth an example for all parents to follow. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. You choose today who you're going to serve. It's everybody's choice here this morning who you're going to serve. It's your choice how you're going to raise your children. It's your choice what you're going to teach your children. That those are all your choices to make. But there's one choice that I'm going to make this morning. That me and my house, we are going to serve the Lord. And what happened? The people turned around and they followed God. Because Joshua was willing to stand up and say who he was. And to say what he stood for. And to say how he was going to live his life. And that's the way he lived. That's all our children are looking for. Is that right there? That's what they're looking for. How are you going to live your life? Who are you going to serve? When Joshua laid it out plain and clear, and he lived it, the people had something to follow. They had something to put their feet on. They had some solid ground. That's the trouble with our young people, our children. They haven't had solid ground to put their feet on. God help us that we can be Joshua's of today. I want to close with Psalm 127. Except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it. Except the Lord keep the city, the watchman waketh but in vain. It is vain for you to rise up early, to sit up late, to eat the bread of sorrows, for so he giveth his beloved sleep. Lo, children are an heritage of the Lord, and the fruit of the womb is his reward. As arrows are in the hand of a mighty man, so are children of the youth. Happy is the man that hath his quiver full of them. For they shall not be ashamed, but they shall speak with the enemies in the gate. Except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it. Parents, there's not one of you here this morning who is wise enough, who is strong enough, and who is physically fit to train children. There's none of you. It's through the grace and the power of God, enabling you, giving you the strength, the knowledge and the wisdom to know how to relate with each one of your children. May God bless each one of you as you strive to live out this in your life, as you strive to be that parent that is there for your children, that sets forth an example that will lead your children to the gates of heaven. Remember, except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain. You cannot do it without God. You cannot do this without the Lord's help in your life. I desire your prayers for the message this afternoon. We will be starting off with Psalm 127 and building off of that. At this time, let us kneel for prayer.